The following message is brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.
Greetings, fellow Federationists. This is Thursday, February 7th, 2008, and Presidential Release number 359. I begin with the sad news that John Parker of New Hampshire died on January 27, 2008. He was our president in New Hampshire in time past. He was a very long-time Federation member and supporter and leader. I am sorry to have to tell you of his death. It came just as we were entering the Washington Seminar, and I mentioned it there, but I'm sorry to have to tell you of his death. John Parker was a very good guy and a very good friend, so I'm sorry to have to tell you of that. I have an announcement here from Carl Jacobson, which tells of the death of Wayne Rivera. It says, "It is with a great deal of sadness and an extreme feeling of loss that I write to tell you of the passing on January 15, 2008 of Wayne Rivera of New York. Wayne was an active and contributing member not only of our affiliate, but of our organization on the national level. He was the second highest contributing member of the PAC plan in New York, and he gave a substantial capital campaign pledge. In fact, he asked what was happening about the announcement of the capital campaign, and when he learned what it was, he wrote it on a napkin and handed it in for his contribution to the capital campaign, and that form of generosity has become legendary. He was employed in New York, very close to the World Trade Center. He was not far from it when the destruction of the World Trade Center occurred, and that caused significant problem in his business, but he kept his capital campaign alive anyway. I am sorry to have to tell you of Wayne Rivera's death. I have an announcement here from Scott Labar. It says, "It is with great sadness that I report the death of Paul Lawrenson, who died on Saturday, which would be February 2nd, in Brush, Colorado, where he had been living for the last 10 years or so. Paul was a leader in the Federation in Colorado. He served as president of our Denver chapter for some time, and he was also an officer of our affiliate in Colorado. He was a supporter of the organization every time. He was a great guy, and we will miss him much. If you would keep these folks in your prayers, I would be most pleased with that. Paul Lawrenson of Colorado, Wayne Rivera of New York, and John Parker of New Hampshire." I have an announcement here from Jim Skelton. Jim Skelton says that he is a contract worker for the government, and he says that he is longing to put together a division of those who work for the government as contract workers. It is possible to work for our government without being an employee of our government, and Jim Skelton has managed this. And he says there are a number of other people and the specialized problems that such folks encounter who are blind should be addressed, and so he's contemplating putting a division together. If you want to help do that, if you're in that position or want to support people who are, call Jim Skelton at 601-616-8360. On January 15th, we released, along with NASA, a new book called Touch the Invisible Sky. It shows many aspects of the way to look at the sky with radio waves and infrared waves, and it gives pictures of galaxies and things like that which you wouldn't otherwise have except through non-visible light. So there is also visible light, and it shows some of that. It shows the contrast between the infrared, the radio, and the visible light aspects of looking at the sky, and we announced that in conjunction with NASA and got ourselves a lot of publicity. Noreen Grice is one of the authors of this book. She has enticed some others to help with the writing of it. But she's been putting together a number of these astronomy books, and it made quite an impact. We got publicity about it throughout the United States. 2 days after that, on the 17th of January, the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland had its day in Annapolis, and I went there, and we went into the Senate chamber. This is very unusual. Very often, nobody's permitted in there except senators and staff members of senators. But we were invited into the Senate chamber for a presentation. The National Federation of the Blind came to Baltimore in 1978, and we were given a citation from the Senate about the work of the National Federation of the Blind for the last 30 years. Not only were the members of the Senate there, but the governor was there, the lieutenant governor was there, the Speaker of the House was there, and the members of the House, or most of them, were there. This was, in effect, a joint meeting of the legislature of Maryland. And so at the joint session, we were given a citation for the extraordinary work we've done in innovation to bring greater opportunity to the blind and to protect the civil rights of blind people in Maryland and throughout the United States. It was a great day, and one of the people who got special recognition on the Senate floor was Sharon Maneki, who served for 20 years as the president of the National Federation of the Blind of Maryland. Then we came to the time that we were having the Washington seminar, and as we got to that weekend, we had the Research and Development Committee meeting. Now, the Research and Development Committee meeting always considers things that are coming up that might be of special interest. Undoubtedly, the Research and Development Committee will be talking about some of the things that it has been working on. We've had a relationship with Penn State. Kerry Cipollo is a graduate student there. He's working on a PhD in chemistry and education. And he has encouraged people at Penn State to do some inventing. Well, three items were presented from Penn State that we will be contemplating putting together. One of them is a talking multimeter. We've had those in the past, but the company that made them has decided no longer to put them on the market because it says it's too dangerous to have blind people doing science, which, of course, is completely ridiculous and also completely discriminatory, and besides just a plain mistake or set of thoughts that is idiocy on the part of that company. We said, if you won't build a talking multimeter, we'll build one of our own. And besides, the electronics in the new one are better than the electronics in the old one, so we're likely to come out with a better one anyway. That's one of the things. There are some other inventions that we'll be talking about as they come to be available. I don't know how soon these will be available, but we'll be working on it one of these times. At the same weekend, we had a group of people here who are previous scholarship winners. This is called the Scholarship Alumni Gathering. And the crowd came in. These are folks who have won scholarships from us in the past, and we've been talking about how we can work with these bright folks to bring more leadership into the Federation and to bring stimulating new ideas into the kind of work that we do, and I think it was a very, very successful meeting. Joanne Wilson was heading up this gathering along with Rosie Carranza and Dan Fry and Miriam Rio. This is the Affiliate Action Department, and the Affiliate Action Department put together an outstanding meeting, and we will undoubtedly be seeing exciting new ideas coming out of this group of scholarship alumni. Then we went on Sunday before the Washington seminar. This is the 27th of January. We invited folks to come here in the afternoon of that day for the Betsy Zaborowski Memorial Celebration. And the Betsy Zaborowski Memorial Celebration had a program that was from about 3:30 until, maybe a quarter of 6 in the afternoon. It was a gathering of people from around the world. Lord Colin Lowe of London came and spoke eloquently about Dr. Zaborowski. And the senior senator from Maryland, Barbara Mikulski came and she spoke. And the governor of Maryland came and he spoke. And the person we've known who is one of the premier inventors of the United States, Ray Kurzweil, came and he spoke. It was chaired by Kevin Worley, and a magnificent job of chairing he did. We had a very fine gathering, a very moving gathering, and then we had a big old Polish dinner because Betsy Zaborowski was, of course, Polish. The final speaker of the afternoon was Jim Gashel, and he put together a presentation about what Betsy Zaborowski meant to him personally and what she meant to the National Federation of the Blind and to blind people around the country and around the world and to those who were seeking integration into society. It was one of the best presentations I've ever heard, and it was one of the most moving presentations I've ever heard. I don't know how he did it. I admired the work he did. Will Schwatka tells me that the video of the program of the Betsy Zaborowski Memorial Celebration and another file that contains the audio, so that if you don't want to watch the video, you can just get the audio, has been placed on our website. So if you want to find out how it was, it's there for you to hear. The following morning, this was the morning of the 28th of January, we gathered in Washington, D.C., and we had a press conference in Washington, D.C., to talk about the Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reader Mobile. This Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reader is a reading machine. We, of course, a year and a half ago, brought out the Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reading Machine, and that reading machine was on a PDA that was attached to a camera. Well, further development has been made of the Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reader and a new version of the reader. The Kurzweil National Federation of the Blind Reader Mobile has now been developed and was released on the 28th at a press conference in Washington, D.C. This reader is on a cell phone. It is a software package that is put into a cell phone that has a camera in it. There are certain minor modifications made to the cell phone so that it can do the kind of reading that needs to be done. And of course, the software package is included. And it is also less expensive than the KNFB Reader Classic, the first of the reading machines, the handheld types. This one will cost $1,595 for the software, that is the reading software. Then you've got to get a hold of a cell phone that'll use the software. The N82, the Nokia N82, is the phone to use. One of these days there will be other phones, but this is the only one at the moment. The phone weighs about 4 ounces, so it is tiny in comparison with reading machines that have been developed previously, and it does an extraordinary job. I have one here in my pocket. And one day, when we get a moment, we'll invite Jim Gashel to come demonstrate it on the presidential release. I won't demonstrate it today because there's a lot to cover, but this is a delightful, tiny product, and it is the cell phone that reads to you. It also has a text enlargement feature so that you can use it to present large print of material that is in small print, and it has a tracking system so that if you're not good at reading, you can watch the marker on the screen that will follow along and verbalize the words as you look at them so that you can get both large print and verbal output at the same time. All of that was part of the demonstration of the reading machine that occurred at the press conference on the 28th in the morning. Then in the afternoon, we got to the Washington Seminar Great Gathering in Meeting, and we had a fabulous gathering there that night. We had a presentation again by Lord Colin Lowe telling us about the work that he does to change laws for the blind in his own country, and also talking about the kind of work that we do and how it's important for us to work together to coordinate matters. And then we had a presentation by Congressman Markey out of Massachusetts, who came and pledged support for the programs that we are promoting on Capitol Hill. He said that he was a member who had been in the Congress for so long that he was the person with the 13th greatest seniority in the House of Representatives, and that he had worked with us for many years and looked forward to working with us for many more to come, and that he believed in what we were doing, and he talked in specifics about how he would support what we had in mind. And I'll get in a minute to what these matters are, but we had presentations of lots of folks. John Perret got up and he made what has to be a kind of a classic remark. He said, "Yesterday afternoon, we had more than 600 people at the National Center for the Blind for the Betsy Zaborowski Memorial. And in that gathering, we had the senior senator from Maryland, and we had people from different parts of the world, Canada and the United Kingdom, and we had the governor. And then we had the announcement of this brand new reading machine in the morning. And now in the evening, we have the great gathering in meeting where we talk about changing the laws for the blind of the United States. And we have people from the Congress who come." And he said, this is a typical 24-hour period for the National Federation of the Blind. I understand that that may be a slight exaggeration. There's always something happening at the National Center for the Blind, but sometimes it happens slightly more slowly than that. The things that we're doing at the Washington Seminar this time have to do with the Quiet Cars legislation we're hoping to get adopted, Social Security, and the changes that need to be done there, and full funding for the digital talking book transition of the Library of Congress. I have been in correspondence with the Librarian of Congress this winter. I have written starting in the first part of January and said that I remembered meeting with the Librarian of Congress and how he promised full support for the transition to the Talking Book digital program. This was last June, and he wrote back, or he didn't write back. One of the people in his office wrote back and said, "Well, I know that you met, and I understand that we talked about full support, but we didn't agree to any specific numbers." And I wrote back and said, "I remember mentioning specific numbers, whether you remember them or not, and we need $19 million in order to do this for each of 4 years, to do it in 4 years. Otherwise, it'll extend out over many years, and a lot of people will be without books because tape recorders are no longer being manufactured. The tape is no longer readily available. You can still buy tape, but it's much harder to get than it used to be. And the quality of the tape is no longer as good as it used to be because tape manufacture is no longer a matter of concern to people nearly as much. As a matter of fact, the 3M company stopped making tape a while back, and so we bought a bunch of tape from 3M because we didn't think we'd be able to get it anymore. In other words, the sound reproduction is going to other standards, and we have got to go with it. There's no way to stay with this old system." So anyway, the librarian wrote back to me, and he said, "We're not going to give you $19 million a year for 4 years. $12.5 million is all you get. And we need more than that. We need to go back to the full funding in order to get this program fully funded and so that we can get the transition done and have the books available in the orderly transition that needs to happen in order to make it possible for blind people to read. Lots of people have access to many other sources of reading material. For the blind, the Library of Congress is the primary source. We in the National Federation of the Blind make some recorded material, but we don't make the kind that the library makes, and we need this program, and we need it fully funded." So we have been asking people in the Congress to do that, and we asked the members of the Senate to do it, and we've had certain promises from a number of those who say that they're going to help us with full funding. That means that one of these times we may have to mount a campaign to say to people that we need full funding for the Digital Talking Book Transition Program. And I'll keep you informed about what we need to do in order to make sure that this happens. That was one of the items on our program. The second dealt with quiet cars. We would like to have legislation adopted which says that cars will make enough noise so that we can hear them. We are in favor of having cars that don't pollute. Somebody wrote to me after we said we don't want quiet cars to run over blind people. We want them to make noise. And the person who wrote to me said, and when all of the icebergs melt and the water rises, I hope you're the first one to drown. Well, I'm not anxious to pollute the world and have global warming and drown along with everybody else. I just want to have the cars make enough noise so that I'm around to observe the beautiful world that we preserve. And what we're trying to do is get federal legislation to see that cars make enough noise that blind people can hear them. We have been meeting with various people. We've met with some folks from the car manufacturing companies. We have met with other people in the universe of automobile manufacturers, especially those dealing with regulatory schemes. The Environmental Protection Agency in the United States gets involved with this, and then there are people around the world. The United Nations has a Commission on Economic Cooperation for Europe and other countries, which is one of the regional commissions of the United Nations. And one element of this is a working party, which is called Working Party 29, which has to do with construction of vehicles. And it has an Inland Transportation Committee, which is a world forum for the harmonization of vehicle regulations. And that committee, Working Group 29, or WP29 as they call it, has a working party on noise, and we have been invited to make a presentation to the 47th session of this working party. We need the federal legislation to encourage the manufacturers in the United States and to encourage people in the United Nations working group to believe that this is important. One of the people in this working group said to us, "We have been working for decades to quiet automobiles so that they don't make so much noise, and now you want us to have them make noise. We don't want them to make as much noise as some of them have made, but we do want them to make at least some noise so that we can hear them. You know as well as I do that if the cars don't make some noise, we can't tell about the traffic lights, and we can't figure out when to cross the streets, and if we step out in front of a quiet car, it'll run us down, and that will be that. And this is not what we've been working to be integrated into society in order to get. So I want them to make some noise. We're working on the legislation. At the same time, we're working with the United Nations Working Group so that we can try to get to a place where countries that manufacture automobiles know that this is a matter of interest and concern and safety and importance. I will be going to Geneva about 2 weeks from now to make a presentation to this working party on noise. We also have state legislation. I realize I've been talking about federal legislation now, but a lot of times the state legislation gets adopted more quickly if the recognition has occurred in the states that this is an important problem in the states. So we've drafted a bill which is available from the Department of Governmental Affairs, which is part of the Department of Strategic Initiatives here. Jim McCarthy has this bill, and if you would like a copy of the state model legislation, you can get it from him so that it can be introduced in your state legislature. This will encourage the adoption of federal legislation. The last piece of legislation had to do with the work incentive provisions of the Social Security Act. Today, there are work disincentives, so blind people are penalized if they go to work. And we have a piece of legislation which removes the penalties for work and encourages blind people to go to work. The Social Security bill was introduced in the House of Representatives a while back, and that's H.R. 3834. Since we got together in the Washington seminar, our good friend Senator Dodd of Connecticut and our good friend Senator McCain of Arizona have jointly sponsored our Social Security bill in the Senate. This is S-2559. So you should let your members of your congressional delegation know that they should support H.R. 3834 and S-2559, which removes the disincentives for the blind to go back to work. Now, this brings me to the end of the presidential release, and you'll notice that we've had quite a bit of effort in the National Federation of the Blind, and a lot is happening. I realize we're getting to the convention time in the Federation, and the convention time is a time when the members of the National Federation of the Blind need to register with the hotel to get your room reservation for the convention. We're going to Dallas. We're going to be meeting at the Hilton Anatole Hotel, a splendid property. It is going to be a lot of fun. Get your reservations in. Come March 1st, we're going to have pre-registration for the convention proper and the banquet available here at the National Center for the Blind, and you can get that by going on the website. I'll have an announcement about the precise address for it next time on the presidential release, but it's time to get your reservations planned for the convention for next summer. Oh, and there's one final thing. On April 4th of this year, we're having our annual celebration. And, of course, the celebration invites everybody to come. There's a cost of $75 for it. There will be dozens of restaurants bringing food and drink to the people who come, and there'll be a silent auction, and then we're going to have a Beatles band. It won't be actually the Beatles. It'll be called Beatle Magic, and they'll be coming so that we can do a little singing and a little dancing, and it'll be a great time after a program to tell people about what we're doing here to have a good time on the celebration. This is on Friday night, April 4th. You all come. We'll be starting about 5:30 for the annual celebration. Here's the piece for the end of the presidential release. I have some of the usual customary offerings. Some of them are a little longer this time in honor of the Valentine's Day, which is coming up in a week. There was a married couple, and they were celebrating their 35th wedding anniversary in a little romantic restaurant when a beautiful fairy appeared who said, "For being such an exemplary married couple, and for being loving to each other for all these years, I will grant each of you a wish." And the wife said, "I want to travel around the world with my darling husband." The fairy waved her magic wand, and there were two tickets for the Queen Mary II in the wife's hand. The husband thought for a moment, and he said, "I know this is a very romantic opportunity, but these wishes come only once, so I'm sorry, my love, but I wish that I were married to a wife 30 years younger than I am." The wife and the fairy were deeply disappointed, but a wish is a wish. So, with a wave of her wand, she made it true. The husband became 92 years old. And then I have these two. Where do you find an ocean without any water? On a map. Or how can you tell the difference between a walrus and an orange? Put your arms around it and squeeze. If you don't get orange juice, it's a walrus.
The preceding message was brought to you by Mark Maurer, President, National Federation of the Blind, 1800 Johnson Street, Baltimore, Maryland, 21230.